G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottlers proudly presents BBN Chalk Talk, a sports show with a distinct Kentucky flavor.
Welcome to BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottlers. You've got Matt, you've got Greg. It's a maxless episode, and we've got a few of these coming in a row here.
It just feels so calm.
It is.
I almost wanted to try to find like new intro music, just more of a laid back and serene. It's all good.
Hey, welcome to BBN Chalk Talk.
It's so laid back.
Set the mood here a little bit. Yeah.
No rants. It's a rant-free weekend. It's a
what a lot of people don't understand is when you all hear the rants from Max on these episodes, we have to hear them before the episode, during the episode, and then after the episode, and probably somewhere in a text, either midweek or say, we hear it at least three or four times every time he's worked up about something.
So you're the same way whenever he'll send something in our group text and you're like, oh, that's coming up this weekend.
100%.
That's not going to die down.
Yes. Oh, man. Yeah. So
anytime Art Briles' name for the last 2 years, anytime that name comes up, he's just like, he's got some serious issues with that man.
No,
he did some bad things, but he's got some serious
issues. Gotta let it go, man.
At some point in time.
It has no effect on your life. Zero.
Whatsoever. But yeah. No, you can't hire him for an assistant's job.
Oh, man. Big fella. Wow. Well, on this episode, we've got some things to talk about. We've got EJ Price's newest adventures. We've got a couple injuries, really. One that's close to home for us with Reed Travis here. And then also, if you didn't catch it on anything ever, if you opened your eyes today about Zion, he got injured. We've got that. We've got all of our sports updates. We've got a whole bunch of those coming. Recap of the women's game that just happened last night here as they went down to South Carolina and gave them a little revenge for earlier in the season. And then we got food. We've got an interesting food category today, and I think some people are going to be on the fence on this one because people tend to feel very strong about this topic, but we will get into that later on. So let's kind of start with EJ. So EJ's not even going to transfer anywhere. He's just saying, I'm out. I'm going to Canada. I'm going to go play pro ball.
And we've all have our little like connectors and feelers, and we've heard some things. Nothing has been verified, but like we were told from a pretty reliable source that he just kind of like up and bailed.
Yeah,
like he wasn't even on campus anymore. Like he,
yeah.
He just threw up the deuces and went back to California.
Yeah.
And then today, he posted on social media this afternoon that he had. It didn't say he signed a contract, but it said that he was joining this season the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in the
Canadian. When does the Canadian season – it hasn't started yet, has it? I would assume no.
It's got to be way too cold right now.
Should have looked at it, that's very true. Very good point.
I'll look it up here in a second. But, I guess he's just – and, you know, we kind of touched on this on the other show, and he's to the point where he's burned so many bridges, I don't know who would take him.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, because you know anytime a school's going to pick a kid up, they're going to go talk to the previous school or schools that they were at. And when they start hearing stories, there's no way. And here's the thing that was running through my mind, too, is with this. That was pretty quick that he's saying he's going to this Canadian team. How long has he been talking to agent, talking to one of the teams, someone he knows? He's had to been talking to someone because this happened so quick. It wasn't just I quit, now I'm gonna go start looking at Canadian football. Like this seems like it might have been something in the works for a while and just may have caused him to up and peace out on the Kentucky team. I don't know.
Yeah, the season's not scheduled to start till November.
Okay. Yeah,
so it's got quite a while. So, and once again, it doesn't say that he's signed,
right?
I don't know if he would have to technically be drafted. I mean, because I'm sure there's a draft for that. Just like there's just a lot of things that haven't made sense. I mean, we've heard rumors of a fight at the Citrus Bowl. That's why he was out for a few series. It wasn't just a rotation that they sat him because he got into an altercation with somebody. And there's just been a lot of things that have gone on around this young man, and he's got some issues. We knew he had some issues coming in when he left USC.
Yep.
He bailed on us after being here for a few weeks and then came back. And, you know, we thought he kind of got back on the right track this season, you know, started 11 games for us, I believe. And, he didn't look too bad in those games. He had some bonehead plays here and there, but nothing that you wouldn't expect a guy that hadn't played in over a year to kind of do. So, I don't know.
Hey, and who know with some of the issues that you know we know he has going on, he might be trying to catfish the Canadian League. Who knows? We might have this whole recruiting thing going up again where he's just saying, I'm going to go join this team, and they're like, what? And he's just going to force himself on them. Who knows? Possibilities are endless.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm looking to see if they have a draft. I don't see – and nothing is jumping out like, hey, the draft is this. But the free agency period is Tuesday, February 12th, 2019 is when it starts.
Oh,
all players eligible for free agency are unrestricted free agents. So, I don't know. That's, so we'll see. Yeah, and like you said, he could be trying to
– Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah.
Who knows? But
just wishing the best.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever he's going to do, just, I guess, take the issues away from us and good luck.
I just don't want anything to backfire on us because, like you said, the timing of this is really, really fast.
Right.
If there's anything, you know, wrong going on. And UK's pretty good about self-reporting on stuff like that. And the other thing I hate, the first thing that hit me was because he was here for so long, is he going to count against our graduation rates? And as a coach, part of coaches' salaries are based on the graduation rates.
Yeah.
And here you got a knucklehead that, you know, not going to graduate. He's always going to count against you now.
Right.
And your numbers. And but then I guess it's your fault for bringing him on too.
Yeah, so. And I know the academic side has been working so hard to, like, go back into previous, you know, guys that have left early and have been – I mean, you see Avery's on campus right now. I know Randall's gone through it. I've talked with one of the academic advisors over there, and they were talking about how they're trying to reach back out to all these former players who never finished their degree to get them to come back and finish it. Because I guess, I don't know if those numbers count or if there's a separate category or whatever, if they come back and are able to finish, if that ups whatever percentages you have, or if it's just something that they're wanting to hang their hat on saying, you know, hey, this is what we've done with our alumni and bringing them back. And this is another thing that, another tool that the recruiting, the coaches can use recruiting wise of saying, you're going to have that lifetime education to help sell the parents of saying, here's an example. This, you know, Randall went and played in the pros. He came back and finished and we let him do it for free because it's that important. So,
well, I think whenever you recruit, a lot of this comes from our basketball program.
Right.
And when you recruit those one and dones to get those people back in, that's a huge selling point to, hey, you know, because if things don't work out for you, you always got your scholarship. You don't have any more eligibility, but you know, you can always come back and get your degree and make something of yourself.
Yeah. Yep. So.
And speaking of basketball, Travis Reed's knee.
Man. Reed Travis. It's always hit, those Reed, Reed those Travis. Names are always
six one way half dozen.
It takes you a while. Yeah.
Still does it. Then I don't care.
I think this whole situation with Reed turned out to be best case scenario with a sprained knee. What a lot of people that hear sprained knee just think, oh, okay, good. That's great. Nothing's torn. You can have a sprained knee and there's different grades of a sprained knee to where it might just have been, you know, loosened a little bit. Like it just, you know, whatever, that's the grade one. Your grade two is a partial tear. And then a grade three could be a full tear of a ligament. So, from what it's sounding like, that it all looks like it was just that grade one. Hopefully he's just out a couple weeks. I know Cal just tweeted out, you know, today that thankful for the best case scenario happening. They're going to make sure they take it very slow. They're hoping he's back for the conference tournament, maybe a little earlier, but they're going to take their time getting him back into it just so they can, you know, have him for the long haul. And that's especially the big guy. That's really nice that was all that happened.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy. His own player falling into him just didn't get out of the way on it. But I agree. No need to rush him back. You're going to be one of the top four seeds in the SEC tournament, whether you beat Tennessee again or you don't beat Tennessee again. Yep. So you got that double bye going in. And the main thing is getting healthy for that run in the tournaments. And most importantly, the NCAA tournament, not the SEC tournament.
Right.
So, yeah, it's good to see. It didn't look that bad to me. I had a bunch of people start texting me because of my work and what I do with sports performance and stuff like that. What did I think? And my first thing was you got to have an MRI first for it, because you never know what happens. There's so many different angles it could have hit, and from looking at it on TV, I said, but originally it just didn't look bad. It looked like he buckled a little bit, looked like a mild sprain, a couple weeks maybe.
Yep.
And fortunately, that's all what it looks like it's going to be. And then, but the crazy thing is, then you have Zion do, you know, get the same diagnosis, although it happened quite differently. That poor kid over in Indonesia that got fired today for making those shoes.
I saw that. I was like, oh my God. Like the jokes, like, it's not funny because people are getting hurt, but the jokes about Zion and all the memes and everything that's come out with him, and then the picture that the men's basketball team for Kentucky sent out of them all on the plane, and everybody's like, I don't see Reed. I don't see Reed. What's going on? Yeah. And just freaking out about it. It just cracks me up at people on the internet. But, man, I mean, 36 seconds into the game and Zion just rips through his shoe. I was like, what?
Yeah, that was crazy. And I don't know. It might have been Hunter from another show, or Sean from Big Blue. One of them put out, whenever they announced that the flight was not going to leave Missouri that night because of weather, they're like, yeah, could y'all just do us a favor, go ahead and take him to a hospital and have an MRI done? Yeah. Just let us know.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think that was Sean.
Yeah, one of the two. I forgot who it was. If you could just do that, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to be asking.
Yes.
Regardless, one or the other.
Yeah, so, I mean, the bright side of this is that it's going to get Nick and EJ a lot more reps, get them involved a lot more in the game here going into the end of the season. I mean, they're going to – and, you know, we're playing Auburn here this weekend. Auburn's a good team still, and that's the thing. Like, their record doesn't show it, but we saw them early on, and we played them early on in the season, and they're not like a slouch. You know, between them, Arkansas's very beatable, but then you end with Tennessee and Florida's two of your last three games. So definitely have to step up, because, like you said, there's still even a 1-2 seed available now that, you know, Tennessee's still sitting there at number one. LSU lost last night, which puts LSU and Kentucky in a tie for second, but LSU has a tiebreaker. If LSU could somehow beat Tennessee this weekend, that puts all three teams in a three-way tie for first, and then you still have four more games to kind of let this all play out. So it's going to shuffle around a little bit, but I think, you know, it's hopefully safe to say. I haven't looked at the – you said it earlier, but I haven't looked at all the standings below us as far as if anybody else could come up and knock us out if we don't take care of business.
Yeah, I don't think – I glanced at them when I looked at the girls as well. But I don't think there's a way. I mean, because Auburn's still good, yes. Yes, you still got to go down to Tennessee. But the other games are winnable for us. And I think even if we were to tank them, that we'd still get in one of those top four, which is what you ultimately want.
Right. It looks like South Carolina's sitting at 9-4, two games behind us. And then Mississippi's at 8-5. So, yeah, it looks to be you know, pretty safe for the most part. Vanderbilt's 0-13 in the conference.
Yep.
I did not realize that.
Yep. I have not won one yet.
Huh. Well, there you go. Learn something new.
How's that floor?
Yeah. Stupid benches.
Stupid benches. Watching that. So,
benches.
Benches.
What we just said there.
Benches. There was an N.
Yes. Things you sit on. Yes.
But yeah, it's just weird to see two knee sprains from two top big men like that and to go.
Right.
And what do you think? Have you seen the Twitter chatter going on about the NBA players reaching out to Zion and telling him, hey, don't come back? Like, dude.
You know, I haven't seen the NBA players reaching out, but I've seen a lot of people speculating it. That's like, that may be it for him. And then I did see today, which by the time you're hearing this was yesterday, that the NBA has formally sent a request to the NBA Players Association to lower the age to 18. And, you know, I think, again, Sean was on there saying, you know, I don't, you know, this has to be a coincidence that this all goes through and comes to light, or they, you know, announce this publicly the day after Zion goes down. Like, he would have been affected by that, obviously. And, you know, of course, Zion says, even if I had the choice to go straight from high school, I would have gone to college, which you're not going to know the answer to that unless it would have happened. But hard to imagine he wouldn't have gone straight to the pros. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be a very interesting decision. A lot of people are saying Coach K, if he really cared about his players, he wouldn't let Zion come back. And I'm like, well, he's still trying to win national championships, so this is going to be up to the kid.
Zion's going to make money whether they win the ACC or win the national championship regardless. Coach K makes money when they win the ACC, when they win the national championship.
100%.
So, yes, that's why he wants him to come back. But, yeah, I forgot which ones it was, but there's a couple of them that reached out and put something out on Twitter. Hey, big fella, you know, no use risking anything else. You got a long future ahead of you. I'd shut it down. And that's what we saw with that kid at Vanderbilt, too, that blew out his knee. And he was, you know, projected to be a top draft pick. And he just said, shut it down. He left school. I mean, he just said, hey, I'm done. I'm going to go rehab and get ready for the league.
Right. Right. Yeah. So. Yep. Yep. So, anyway, and while we're still on basketball here, before we go to break and come back with some more sports here, you know, Ashton Hagans just got named to the Naismith Defensive Player of the Year semifinalist list. And it looks like he's just one of three freshmen, including – Trey Jones, Zion Williamson from Duke, and then he's the third one. And then only two other players from the SEC and one of two players from the SEC with Grant Williams that kind of made this list. And I don't know what the total is on this list in the here at this point in the for the semifinals. One of 10 players. There it is. Cool. So, you know, great. Obviously, Ashton deserves every second of that. You know, he went through a little bit of a slump, but has picked things back up here recently, and definitely going to need him, especially now that Reed's out, to just continue to step up on the defensive side. So, good for Hagans.
Yeah, good for him. Just love seeing all the awards come in, and especially these guys that are freshmen trying to, you know, getting a lot of that publicity. And you know, I was having a conversation with another friend last night, you know, after the Reed injury. And, you know, there's not very many guys on this team that I think should not come back and play another year.
Yeah.
And
I think all of them could benefit from it.
What PJ showed by coming back and how he's upped his status and his stock tremendously, what one more year will do for you and help you out. So,
yeah,
to see it.
Yep. I think you're right. It's a great point. When we come back, we will be talking about, as Max calls it, hashtag everything school. I got to throw a little plug in there for Max since he's not here, since we don't have to hear him say it. It sounds a little bit better when I say it, right?
We need to bury stuff in this episode to see if he comes back and says anything, to see if he actually listens.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not on.
I love it. I love it. You've been listening to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling.
Final seconds in this one. They can win it with a field goal.
Wait, time out. They're going to ice the kicker.
Is that the coach with a Pepsi?
It's the whole stadium.
Snap is good. Threads are up. The kick is.
No good! He missed it! The Pepsi's worked.
Question, do you manage a business that uses advertising to market to your customer base? Radio's audience continues to grow, adding new listeners by the millions every year. And now with podcasts and more streaming audio in the mix, the universe of listeners continues to expand. Do you think partnering with BB and Chalk Talk to advertise is a good fit for your company? Want to know all the different ways we can help you reach more customers? Contact us today at info@bbandchalktalk.com, and we will follow up immediately to answer your questions.
Welcome back to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling. We've got a lot of other things going on outside of some of the little bit of football, basketball news, and we're going to get into some women's basketball next segment here. But Greg, you want to start us off here with some track and field?
Yeah, picking up the slack where Godby's left us hanging this week.
They have a meet.
Hey, the SEC championships this weekend, that's all I know. Thank you. Good night.
Boom.
Boom. That's it. That's all I care about.
That's hilarious.
that was good. But the prime for the SEC indoor championships start at noon on Friday. We'll be on the SEC Network. They are at the Arkansas Randall Tyson Track Center. There's going to be live coverage on the SEC Network. Men's and women's are both competing. There's eight SEC women's programs ranked in the top 25. Once again, this conference that we play in is tops in everything they do. And out of that, there are seven SEC programs ranked in the men's top 25 as well. So there's a lot of, if you're even a fan of speed and athleticism, check this out. Set your DVR to record this because it's going to be a really good, exciting meet to kind of watch. Talking about the UK people that are in this event to kind of watch out for, Marie, and I'm not saying the six other names she has in her middle name, Excel. She leads the nation and the conference in the women's triple jump by more than a foot. You got the freshman sprinter, Abby Steiner, who is also a member of our soccer team. She ran a 22.97 on that track back at their dual meet in January, and she also leads the SEC in the 200 meter. Ellen Elkhorn leads the SEC in the women's high jump. Noah Castle's ranked third in the conference with a shot put best of 63 feet, 11.75 inches. And then you've got Hazelwood on the women's shot put that has a season best so far that's at the top of the ranks as well. So a lot of good stuff going on. The distance will be in there as well. If you're not familiar with the indoor track scene, what it is, you don't have a whole lot of the mid-range kind of 400s, the 800s and stuff like that, just because the track's shorter and you don't want to be running 25, 30 laps to get the distances in. So it's a quick, fast meet, and that track is pretty cool. The sprinters, when they run off, they actually run up side of the track and into a pad. It's kind of cool watching.
It's like the trucks on the highways that need to veer off and hit the, like, sand pits that are going downhill too fast.
Yeah. And it's funny because you'll see them try to time it up and, like, jump into the pad and stuff like that, and they'll miss it, and they'll just run straight into it, or they'll fall kind of awkward back. It's a good time.
That's always fun.
It's always fun. It's a good
time. I love watching people fall as long as they don't get hurt.
Hey, and people that don't judge us by us saying that, but as linemen, there's times when you get caught with a foot off the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Time when you get caught looking the other way, and then you get planted. So whenever you see it happen to somebody else, no matter where it's at, on a football field, basketball court, track field, it doesn't matter. We enjoy it.
Because we know how ridiculous it looks when we fall, so we always get enjoyment when other people fall.
And it wasn't us.
It was not us. Over in the pool, swimming and diving, we got a lot going on here. But first, out of the pool, I guess it's the version of, like, off the field or off the court. Out of the pool, we've had two of our members here of the team. We had men's swimmer Glenn Brown and women's diver Courtney Clark, who were named to the 2019 SEC Community Service Team that was announced here this week. So congratulations to them. If you are interested in knowing what they're involved in, because it's a lot, and I do not have time to read all this, go over to UK's website, and you can look up this article under the swim and dive category there to kind of look at everything that they're involved in and all the good work that they are doing out of the pool. As far as the swim and dive team goes, they are in the middle of the conference championships right now. On opening day, Kentucky actually set three school records and had one person get up there on the podium. And so the three records were set in the 800 freestyle relay from the men. The 200 medley relay was set by the men. The 800 freestyle relay was set by the women. And then junior Allie Gallier was the one that kind of finished things off there for that. And then we had the 800 freestyle relay that was done by the men's team as well. So we've had a lot going on as far as that goes on opening day. On the second day here, we ended up with our senior Gina Frericks, who was able to break another record. She was the former title holder for the 500 freestyle. And she was able to set another record there in that same event. So we've got a lot of school records going on here. There's still a couple more days left in this meet to see kind of where things stand off. But Gina did end up getting on the podium for that swim and was able to finish third in the conference this year in the finals. So that was cool to see. And that's all I got there on swimming. There's a lot going to be happening, so we'll stay tuned on this.
You and your country club sports.
I know.
Are you going to have to get a pair of nice khakis and a polo shirt to wear to those kind of events? I mean, you just can't wear anything. It's got
no, you can't. Yeah,
country club
100%. Yeah, there's a certain things that you can and can't wear, and they'll kick you right out. It's a standard.
Hey, baseball team's on the road. Actually, they've already touched down in Lubbock, Texas, after completing their first three-game road sweep since 2017. They're on the road to face number 3 Texas Tech this weekend. First pitch tomorrow, I believe, is set for noon in Lubbock, and then they play both Saturday and Sunday. before they return back to Lexington on Tuesday for the opener of Kentucky Proud Park. Can't wait. I'm all excited.
Oh, yeah.
Can't
wait to be out there.
But the trip is a return trip after last year Texas Tech came here. We won two of the three against them last year up here in Lubbock, in Lexington. So you know they're going to be looking for a little bit of revenge. But, man, our pitchers were lights out last week. You know, Friday starter Zach Thompson, preseason All-American, struck out nine, allowed just one hit and four shutout innings. Then you had Dylan Marsh, just one run on two hits and struck out four while walking only a batter in his four-inning debut. And then on from the plate, we had the two junior college transfers, Dalton Reed, who had two doubles and two home runs, and Jared Shelby had seven hits, five runs, and five RBIs. And then you had T.J. Collette, who everybody coming back from his knee injury was worried about how his power would be, but he's got two home runs and seven RBIs in three games. So everybody's rounding back into form. A big test would be a big statement for us. You know, we lost so many guys. I really thought we would sneak into the bottom part of the top 25 just off of what we've done the last couple of years to start the season, but we didn't, unfortunately. But I think really after having that three-game sweep against the mid-major Austin Peay, if we can go down and take at least two or three from Texas Tech down in Lubbock, we should be able to crank that top 25 once again. So it's that time of year. It's so nice, so relaxing. No Max. Baseball, softball's in swing.
Yes. Oh. Country club, you can't get too excited. You got to stay calm.
Man, I tweeted that out last home game, girls' home game, because there was a charge that I think it was Taylor Murray took right under the basket from where we sit. And you know how hard it – just as a fan of sports, wanting to cheer for her, you know, she laid her body out for that play. And then we just got to sit there and go, oh, good job. Let me tweet something out.
Yeah.
I
was sitting at a basketball game. I don't remember what game it was. Not too long ago. It wasn't the Tennessee game. It was another one. And there was one of the guys in media row. I could tell he was like a college student that was just like interning for a media outlet. But literally he was there clapping. I was trying to get him on video without him noticing, but I couldn't catch him and still trying to do my job and pay attention to the game. So he was just like clapping and getting real hyped up and stuff when Kentucky would do things and getting all worked up. It was like, I was like, oh man, I'm glad we are surrounded where we sit. We're usually surrounded by Kentucky reporter, so it's not that big of a deal.
And in RUP, it's a little bit different, especially when you're right up on media row, because you're just there. All you got to worry about is people behind you.
You're not in a cluster. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just feel bad, you know, right there in front of everybody. Yep. But it is difficult. But
Yeah, but back over back to the country club on the tennis side. I'm just going to keep going back. On the women's tennis side, we had our freshman, Tiffany Fiquette, was named SEC Freshman of the Week for the second time this season. This is the first time in 4 years that a Kentucky freshman has won the award twice in one season. She is still undefeated now in seven singles matches and seven doubles matches. This past weekend here against Indiana and Northern Kentucky in that doubleheader, also including South Florida on Friday before that, she won six of six matches. So she just continues to roll. Her and her partner in doubles are kicking butt and just continue to make a name for this women's team. But as in the last episode, the women's team will be heading down here this weekend. They're taking on Baylor in Texas on Friday at 6 p.m., and then they're taking on SMU on Sunday at noon for a little road trip down there to Texas and jump around a little bit. And then they will be back for conference play against Arkansas on March 1st. On the men's side, as we know, they took on number one, Ohio State. We were hoping, because Ohio State had just come off the ITA national championship there, that they were going to be a little fatigued. They weren't. The Cats ended up losing 4-0. It was the first time that the Cats had played in 10 days, and it was 2 days after Ohio State had played. Ended up not working out too well for us there. But, you know, we had our senior, Rio Matsumara, who was slated as the number 29 player in the latest rankings. He ended up taking on the number Ohio State's guy, who's number one, J.J. Wolf, number one in the country, and ended up losing to him 6-3, 6-0. So now Matsumura is 2-2 versus nationally ranked opponents. Next for the men's team, they will be heading to Orlando for the USTA National Campus Collegiate Series. That'll be this weekend here. Sunday at noon, they're taking on number 21, Oklahoma. So look out for them there.
Well, I feel like I just came out of an episode of Caddyshack.
You should.
Outside of golf, we covered everything else. It goes on at the country club.
I know. We did.
Nice.
I love it.
Before we get to the break, I've got a softball update. Let me pull up the score here. It's still, I don't know if they're having some weather issues out there, what, but my feed has been a little slow, but I still have UK up 1-0 on North Carolina. They're playing out in Palm Springs right now. Bottom of the fifth, two outs is what it says here. We had a hit from, switched over there. Babb scored on a hit from Alex Martins. Girls looking good, heading out. Once again, this is a big, big tournament for them. Over the course of this weekend, they're going to take on the number one, number two teams in the nation. So to get out there tonight and have this little primer game with North Carolina, and then they play Bethane Cookman, I think is how you say it. They play them in a nightcap. Once again, it's late because of playing out on the West Coast. But good things for the girls. They should be coming back. Their home opener is the week after the men. So I'll have more updates coming out on our social media tomorrow after the show is posted to kind of recap what's going on with softball this weekend and just kind of keep up with us through that.
Nice. Love it. And before we do go to break, I have an update for Max, some awards for one of Max's teams, his Bang Bang, that came through here today for Rifle. They we had 11 all GARC selections. We also had Will Shaner, who was named the Conference Rookie of the Year in the GARC, and then Rena Goodwin was named the Assistant Coach of the Year within the GARC. So we kind of took a lot of awards there after we know losing to West Virginia, finishing second in the regular season there, but they are getting ready to go to Nationals. So good luck to them. A lot of awards scooping up, and I know they were pretty hyped up about getting that Rookie of the Year award for the Rifle team there. So
when we come back, one and duns.
That's right. No more one and duns. When we come back, we got a little bit of a gymnastics update, and then we will get all into the recap of the women's game here at South Carolina. You've been listening to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling.
Hi, I'm Alex White, tea master at Pure Leaf. When I make tea, everything I know goes into it. I like the mystique of it, the creativity. You can't be impatient. When I craft Pure Leaf iced tea, I don't take shortcuts, because I want you to have the same amazing taste of iced tea that I do. So I start with fresh picked tea leaves from different parts of the world. Then, after they're delicately dried, I blend and brew them at a lower temperature to draw out their unique aromas. And then I taste and fine-tune the blend for a delicious smooth iced tea. I'd love to have you take a sip right now, but that's one thing we can't do over the radio. But you can experience the same delicious taste of Pure Leaf iced tea anywhere you are. I'm Alex White, Pure Leaf Tea Master. Pure Leaf, our thing is tea.
Welcome back to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling. You've got Matt, you've got Greg, no Max. We're going to keep rolling. What's going on over on the beams?
On the beams and the bars and the vaults and the floors? And the mats and
the, yep. And the
tomorrow night, number 13, Kentucky is going to host the Crimson Tide. Alabama's ranked number 9. This will be the third in a row top 10 matchup that they have.
I mean, I was looking at their schedule, and it's ridiculous. Like, literally every team in the SEC is ranked.
Yes. Like, in the top. I think Missouri is the bottom-ranked one. Missouri or Arkansas is the lowest-ranked one, and they're, like, 15th.
Yeah.
Outside of that, every other school is ranked, and most of them are in the top 10. So, we've posted back-to-back weeks. We posted the number two school score in school history when we knocked off LSU last time in Memorial 2 weeks ago. And then there was some home cooking down in Georgia last week. We posted a higher score than we did the week before, but still lost by 0.01. Yeah. Anyway, that's behind us. Wow. So they got Alabama coming in, really looking to build on the season. Coach has been trying to find that optimal lineup to put together with the goal of getting back to the Nationals. I mean, like they did last year. So if you have a chance, come out and check them out. They've got two home meets left tomorrow again at 7 p.m. against Alabama. If you can't make it out, there'll be the early show on Friday Night Heights. Love that the SEC channel is doing that. I need to try to find I want one of the shirts. They got shirts that say Friday Night Heights on them that the SEC crew with the logo on it. I gotta find a big boy size and snag one of those this week because the last meet of the year will be the week after, 2 weeks after, I'm sorry, when they will take on Central Michigan, and that will be the senior night for the senior girls. But if you love athleticism and just general, it's a fun atmosphere. These things only last about an hour, hour and a half. It's action-packed. It's fast-paced. There's always things moving around. And then UK always does a great job of finding something to do in between as they transition and warm up for events. You know, they had the daddy-daughter date night last week or 2 weeks ago against LSU that had a really big crowd, and they let them come down and dance on the mat. They're having a diaper derby this week with kids on the mat.
That's awesome.
Diaper races, yes.
That is awesome.
I can't wait to see this. So they're always trying to find fun stuff to do. So I'll be there tomorrow.
Can't put money down on that.
Yep, I'll be there tomorrow. I'm sure there'll be some wagering somewhere.
I'm sure there will be.
There'll be some wagering somewhere. It might or might not be by me. Yeah. But it's a good time. If you get out there, 7 o'clock tomorrow in Memorial Coliseum.
Love it. Love it. And the other team right now that's playing out of Memorial but was over in Columbia here, I guess last night by the time you're listening to this, Cats got a big win. Won by 8, but really I would consider double digits because they kind of had a little bit of a layup there at the end of the game that didn't really count when time was expiring. Right. Frustrating game, very up and down game, but it was a win on the road and a revenge game for this Kentucky team that lost to South Carolina at home earlier this season. A big win trying to, again, get one of those top four spots going into the tournament here still, and this was a good start.
Yeah, and unlike with the way it is in the men's side where I think we can pretty much compete against anybody, you really want to be a 2 or a 3. Yep. You don't want to be the 4 matching up with Mississippi State in the women's side. So, yeah, it was a good game. I mean, they came out. They went up on them in the first quarter, took a lead into halftime, but then they had a little lull coming out. But, you know, held the Gamecocks to a season low 57 points, which was huge. The defense that they played, I mean, and it was a very physical game. I mean, they were on the floor a lot this game.
Yep. Yeah, they sure were.
So things were getting a little chippy. Both coaches were getting a little heated about some things. I mean, they had to go to the monitor there late to see if Taylor Murray, of all people, threw an elbow. Yeah.
She's just backing her off. She's just like, get off me, yo. I'm trying to go.
Yeah, the girl is so laid back and mild-mannered. I mean, to sit there and say that she had an aggressive foul like that. I was like, really?
And you heard her earlier in the game they were talking about on TV there, but at one point she finally yelled out at the refs like that was a foul. Like she usually doesn't say a word, and she's out there yelling because we were talking about it before we got on here right after the game, and this was like one of the most inconsistent officiating games that I've seen in a long time. It almost seemed like to me every single time the ball got knocked out of bounds or went out of bounds, whatever ref was closest to it was just guessing at what happened and who the ball was going to. There was multiple times that like two girls would be going at it from exact opposite sides at the ball, hitting it at the same time. The ball would go off where physics wise, it made sense into who it went off on, but the refs were calling it the other way. So it was just like, it was all over the place. A couple runs here and there. I know we hit a lull and Macy didn't have a great day, but it was good to still see that you can win a game like this when Macy doesn't score her first field goal until 7 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, she still finished with 12.
Yeah, right. I know. Of course she did. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was.
I'm not going to score but the last 6 minutes of a ball game, and I'm still going to be second on the team with football.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a weird game. And Taylor Murray was our leading rebounder. 8 rebounds. That's interesting.
5'6" Taylor Murray.
5'6". She was all in there. So, yeah, 17 from her. Ryan had another 17 points. We got some good contributions from a few people. I know, you know, Blair only had 4 points, but she was a vital role just off the ball of being able to get the ball around. She has a couple silly turnovers, but, I mean, overall, I thought she played pretty well.
You know, and that's the thing I hate about Blair Green is everybody kind of likes, you know, it's not what we expected coming in as a freshman. She's got a lot of turnovers. But you're comparing her to Ryan Howard.
Yeah. Yeah.
The girl's 7-time
record-setting SEC freshman. freshman of the week.
That they're not just, they've already pretty much said she's going to be freshman of the year in the SEC. And now they're thinking she's going to be freshman of the year in the NCAA. Blair right. Green is your true freshman. I mean, she's coming in, she's working hard. And I even asked Coach about this after last game about the bench play, because they really seem to spark this team from time to time whenever they're not getting the production off of the floor that they want. You know, you've got Blair. She runs the floor really, really hard. She's always kind of getting after it, going for rebounds and stuff like that. You know, Amanda Pascal coming off, Jada Roper coming off the bench. And Obagechi was huge tonight because of the foul trouble that that Wyatt was in. And McKinney just wasn't up to speed tonight like she normally is. So it was big for her to come in and give some minutes too. So, I love the way these girls are playing. It was a huge win. You know, we've talked about this game ever since they lost at home, that this was going to be a revenge game, that this could really, you know, start a nice little run going into the SEC tournament with these girls.
Yeah. Yeah, and what I got worried about kind of early on was if you remember back to when South Carolina was here and how many of those, like, fast break, letting one of their girls get behind our, you know, back line there and just the easy dump and layup passes there. They started to do that again, but then quickly Kentucky kind of figured it out in the second half and was able to shut that down. But I was worried that was going to get out of hand on us again. So,
yeah, I think they outscored us in the paint by, like, what, 20 points or something like that last game. It was only 6 tonight. So they didn't make the adjustments.
Right. Every time the ball got in the paint, every time the ball got in the paint, like, 3 people were crashing down on it and just trying to cause them to fumble the ball and turn it over. 21 turnovers is what Kentucky caused, which is obviously great. And we're able to get, 19 points off of those turnovers. So, like we said, really good win. They got LSU at home here on Sunday. They got A&M at home the following Thursday. And then they're on the road to Georgia to finish out the last 3 games of the season here. So still some work to be done.
Yeah, really need to take care of business against all 3 of them. But most importantly, another revenge game coming up against A&M.
Yep.
That last game of the season at home. And then this Sunday at 2 o'clock against LSU, it is senior day.
Yes, senior day. Man, senior day. That's going to be a big senior day because everybody loves those two, especially. Yep. How many are those the only 2 seniors, or do we have others too?
No, Henson, I think, is hanging it up. They're going to honor her senior day as well.
Okay.
I think it's
Jenny Henson. Yep. Yep.
She had the injury. I think she's just going to be done.
Yep. And, the other thing that you talk about Macy and Taylor and what they've done on the court, and I think I mentioned it, we talked about a little bit in one of the last episodes here on Monday night when I was at that career fair for the student athletes, and how cool that was. Taylor and Macy were the first 2 to walk in the door. They were in there talking with every single person that they could, and they were 2 of the last to walk out the door. After like 2.5 hours of being there, just talking to different companies, like working on, they were giving free like headshots, like professional headshots to all the student athletes that came in. So for your LinkedIn profiles and for all these other things, they had a booth there for helping you work on your resume,
awesome.
All kinds of stuff. So they were in there just not only on the court, are they the first in the gym and the first out of the gym, but anything it seems like these 2 do, they're doing it together, which is awesome to see. And definitely going to be missed after this season. So enjoy them while we can here these last couple weeks to a month here.
All right. So here's a big question I got for you.
Okay.
Macy needs 29 more 3s to tie for the most all time. Think she can do it?
Oof. Man, I do. Yeah, I mean,
when you figure you got SEC tournament, you got NCAA tournament. If they can make a run, I think she's got a legit shot at it.
You figure she's probably making, what, 3-4? We'll call it 4 a game, maybe? 3? Play it safe, be 3 a game.
Yeah.
That'd end up being, that'd be 10 games. Just under 10 games there. So we're looking at it. It will be very close.
Here's another interesting stat with her. She's hit one 3-pointer in at least 105 of her 124 career games.
That's ridiculous. I mean, she hit a jump, like a step back 3 on him to start that one off today, where she was like over in the corner and they were setting the pick, and she just said nope, and just did a little step back and boom, drilled it. And she's like,
crazy.
Her quick release is insane.
Yeah. And everybody's talking about, is she going to go pro over in Europe? I think she has a shot at WNBA. The way she shoots, I would not put it past, if that's something that she wanted to try to do, that she would be able to take off and do that.
Yeah, I think she's smart enough that she could, you know, make up for some of the, you know, the lack of athleticism compared to what she's going to see at that level, because we know she, I mean, she goes as hard as she can. Yeah.
And she's athletic. She just doesn't look it.
Yeah.
I mean, you see Taylor Murray. Taylor Murray's quick. Taylor Murray's fast.
Yeah.
She made a couple of – she drove through the lane tonight. The girls were just, like, looking around like, what was that?
I know.
What
yeah.
Taylor, I mean, the way she moves – and Macy's not that far off from her. She doesn't have her speed, but she's got some athleticism. I've seen her make some spurts up the court, you know, to get back on defense and to get out ahead of a ball and stuff like that. So, I think she's got a legit shot.
I think so. But, Sunday, we'll be there watching. Next big game. Getting ready. It's getting close, man. Basketball. We're already getting
three
the
games
tournament.
Left. I mean, like, I two home games left of both for both teams. Yeah, both it teams. Just seems like yesterday that you and I were sitting down with all these games going, how are we going to cover all this? How are we going to
laying out the schedules?
Yeah, trying to figure it all out. Now I was like, we only got two games left?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Man, brutal, but cool, man. Well, when we come back, though, we got a very controversial food topic that I think you're going to want to hear and probably want to weigh in on. So feel free to tweet us and things like that afterwards. Yeah. You've been listening to BB and Chalk Talk presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling.
Question, do you manage a business that uses advertising to market to your customer base? Radio's audience continues to grow, adding new listeners by the millions every year. And now with podcasts and more streaming audio in the mix, the universe of listeners continues to expand. Do you think partnering with BB and Chalk Talk to advertise is a good fit for your company? Want to know all the different ways we can help you reach more customers? Contact us today at info@bbandchalktalk.com and we will follow up immediately to answer your questions.
Yo, yo, this is your cup holder talking. The little round thing between your car seats. Now, I normally have a nice cold bottle of Mountain Dew in me. But at the moment, I'm empty. That's right, no Mountain Dew. Nothing in here but a couple of quarters and a dime. A fully capable cup holder like me just carrying your loose change. Look, I'm not made for loose change. I'm made to keep Mountain Dew within reach at all times. Just inches from your hand. So find a store already. Grab some Dew. Toss it back, then place that bottle where it belongs. Mountain Dew. Do the do.
Welcome back to BB and Chalk Talk presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling. I sent you this article earlier.
Yep.
And the title of the article is "This Food Cubby Ensures All the Different Food on Your Plate Will Never Touch Again." And this is the controversial topic that everybody either, there's nobody really on the fence of like, oh, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. It's either you don't care or you're adamant about not having your food touch. And someone, Food Cubby, the creators of Food Cubby, I don't know what company it is, decided they were going to try to do something about it by making these little silicone half moon.
Yeah. They look
sort
like
of things.
If you took a traffic cone and made it into a smiley face.
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like.
What these things look like. They're a divider. They're two packs for $14.99.
Yep, Amazon.
Yep, and they will – and when I first saw the food cubby, I'm like, hey, like a cubby right next to my chair. Yes. Yeah. Keep my snacks there. I don't have to get up and go in the kitchen. But I saw this, I'm like, oh, that's what it is. I'm on the – I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I'm on that side of it. But I've got a brother – James Daniel, that I don't know if he's still this way, but I know growing up, like, nothing could touch. Like, he to look at his plate, it had like his own little dividers in there. Like, he made sure there was a row and nothing could touch.
You could, like, see plate in between the food sections.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, like eating chicken fried steak, cut a piece of chicken fried steak, dip it in your mashed potatoes and gravy. Like, he wouldn't do that. And, like, he would eat a bite of chicken fried steak all the way done, then get a bite of mashed potatoes. I mean, so he didn't like the blend and mix.
Yeah. See, now I used to, I used to eat each like food. I didn't care if they touched, but I would eat like all my fries at once. And then I would eat all of the next thing. And then the next thing, like I didn't jump around. I used to be like that, but I'm not like that anymore. But I never really cared if it all touched. Now, the only way that I can see these two reasons that I can see these things being beneficial. Number one is if you, you know, and it says here in the article, and it made a good point. Someone with special needs, someone that's elderly, vision impaired, occupational therapy, like things like that. Yes, I understand that. And for sure these would be great. The other thing that these might be good for is if you've got like, maybe you've got like three different or four different kinds of wings on your plate and it's all wet sauces and you don't necessarily want the wet sauces to mix. Mm-hmm. So you put these dividers on there to keep the sauces from interacting and getting all into each other's business.
Because that they say they actually suction cup to the plate.
Yeah, so they don't move, which if you're going to do it, I mean, do it right, which is good for them. So that would be the only thing that I could see. But in most cases, you know, especially like if someone brought this to Thanksgiving, I would immediately ask them to leave.
Well, here's my thing. That limits your portion size.
Yeah, there's a lot of plate that's taken up there.
Yeah. So that's, you know, as the fatty in me is like, eh.
That looks like less food. And
yeah, that looks like that. I've got to make a couple extra trips just to get what I normally would want.
Yeah.
But I do agree, you know, especially, you know, with my grandmother being 94 years old, she still feeds herself. And there's things that she struggles with. That is a perfect thing for those with special needs or a handicap or something like that, because it does act as a second hand for you that you can scoop and,
yep,
be able to pick things up. That's a kind of a cool idea. And then, you know, of course, like with autism and stuff like that, where people don't like it touching, it makes their whole brain go haywire. Like my brother. Maybe my brother was autistic back in the day. We didn't know.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. There you go.
But now it's kind of cool. But for me, I don't care. And then plus now I'm losing plate space.
I wonder what side of this Max is on.
Oh God. It depends. Is he fasting?
Well, if he's fasting, it's just going to be a plate of silicone half moons and no food on it. So he can put one almond in each little pocket.
Almonds over here. I have my three grapes here. And my protein. It's got to have a protein.
Yes.
Here.
No seasoning, though. Just only protein. No salt, pepper, no seasoning.
Oh.
That is it.
Maxi.
Oh, man. Yeah. So.
Intermittent
fasting. Yes. So if you have an opinion on that, I want to hear from you. Even if you're on the side of no food touching, my wife, I think she's fine with her food touching, but she would rather it not. And her mother-in-law sort of like a plate that just, it's almost like when you're a kid and you have like the big tray that has like section, it's just a plate that kind of has three sections, a big one and two small ones that has just raised parts to it. So not necessarily that you have like a full other suction silicone thing on there for her to use sometimes, because sometimes she doesn't like, sometimes she does. It just kind of depends on what mood she's in.
Yeah, I'll get something up after we put up the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll put something up, and then we will bring this back up on Sunday on 590 WVLK, which is our next show.
Yes.
Sunday, noon to 1. Matt and I will both be there without Max.
Yes, two in a row.
Yep. Are you going with me Saturday to the basketball game or Sunday?
Sunday. What
text
time
me, let me know.
2 o'clock? Yeah, I might. We'll see. I got to see what I got going on.
Okay. Just let me know so I can let them know. Cool. But, yeah, we can head over there after that and have some lunch. And it's a nice Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Sounds fantastic.
It sounds fantastic and stress-free.
Very stressful.
Stress-free. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I say – you know, it's so stress-free. I'm all for to upset Max. We play his music pick. I'm not even going to put the poll back up. We're just going to, what did he pick? I don't even know what he picked.
The Monkees.
Oh, you know what? That is fitting because one of the Monkees passed away today.
Oh, no. Was that foreshadowing by Max?
Oh, and he's not here. Ooh.
Ooh.
He's got the monkey juju.
We can do that.
So we will do that. We will play his music, the Monkees music today. I'm trying to remember what the gentleman's name was. It's slipping me right now. I don't want to say the wrong one. But yeah, one of them passed away today at the age of 77 after a quick battle with cancer. But Peter Tork. Look, I pulled up my Facebook, and that's the first thing jumps up. So we will honor them and Max. That sounds so weird. On Sunday, by having their music. And then that'll just upset Max even more that Dave played his music when he wasn't there, and he won't play his music when he is there.
That'll be perfect. I love it. Awesome. We'll see you guys on Sunday. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to BB and Chalk Talk presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling. Have a good afternoon and go Cats.